Derek read somewhat of an obscure verse of Scripture in Numbers, introducing us to Jochebed. There's not much known in the Bible about Jochebed, except of what we know about her children, Miriam and Aaron and Moses. You want to make instant friends with any mom, sit down and have a Coke or a cup of coffee or a drink of water and say to her, "Tell me about your children." And then be willing to listen, and you'll learn much about a mom, and you'll learn much about her children, because a good mom, and any mom, good mom, will just continually express and explain about her children. And you watch her eyes light up, and you watch the drifting into memories and into anecdotes and stories and details all about her children. Well, if we had the opportunity to interview Jochebed, she would probably have a similar set of stories that would take quite a time to tell, because as you follow through in the Scriptures, you'll see that Miriam and Aaron and Moses became major players, if you will, major parts of the story of the Bible in the Old Testament, and all of them made very distinctive and very significant, very meaningful contributions into the Bible story and into the timeless spiritual world that you and I are dwelling in today. Jochebed was married to Amram. They were both from the tribe of Levi, and they were married in the time, of occupation, if you will, of Israel in the land of Egypt. They were slaves, and Egypt held rule over them and all of the people of Israel at the time. And the Israelites were captured by Egypt, and they were commissioned to build the kingdom of Egypt for Pharaoh while in their captivity. And so while they were married and while they were in captivity, harsh conditions, impossible situation, certainly not a season of time to have hope or to anticipate anything positive because of the captivity that they were in, Amram and Jochebed decided to have children. What are you thinking, Jochebed, to bring children into a world that is so devastating as being in slavery, such a devastating place to be in? Why would you want to bring children into a world like this? Well, it says something about Jochebed and Amram that they would go ahead and do that, that they would bring children into a world because they did have hope. They had hope in a God that could bring about change. They had hope in a God that could deliver. They had hope in a God that could make a difference, even when things seemed dire and circumstances seemed impossible. And so they birthed their first child, who was a daughter named Miriam. And when you look at the life of Miriam, you'll see that Miriam was a wonderful aid to Jochebed. She helped her mama greatly. I watch our families around here at the church, and I see those older sisters and how helpful older sisters are to mamas as multiple children are being born. And I can't help but think, as a little girl growing up, that Miriam was very much like that, very attentive to her mama's needs, and especially as more children came along. But Miriam was a very special person in her own right as she grew up and as she developed into the woman that God intended for her to be. So as Miriam was born in captivity, and Jochebed and Amram did the very best that they could to give her a wholesome and healthy childhood environment, even while in captivity, even while working for Pharaoh, building the kingdom of Egypt, along comes another child, Aaron. And in that culture, boy babies were special. Girl babies had a special meaning, but boy babies were special because in the culture of the day, the boy baby and the boy adult could carry on the family lineage. It's similar in cultures even in our world today, in places like China and places like India. There is a prize that is the boy child, and girl children end up taking a second rate or a second place in the culture there. In fact, even in some of those countries today, like India and China, girl children are thrown away, or girl children are diminished or moved on in order to try to find that boy baby. But if you look at Jochebed, and you see the way that she treated her children. She didn't treat her children that way. Now, Aaron comes into the family, and if we interviewed Jochebed today, she would probably say that Aaron was always a spiritual boy. You met kids like that, haven't you? They just have an aura about them, just a nature about them. And Aaron, when he was growing up, he always had a spiritual quality to himself. Sure enough, as Aaron grows into his future, Aaron grows up to be the first high priest of Israel. You think about it, that for a moment. And Aaron is the one who is hearing from God and establishing the spiritual culture of Israel going forward. All of the traditions of Israel, all of the traditions of their worship, all their plans, all their activities, all the way they execute the ministry, all was flowing through Aaron. And Jochebed would recognize that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's my boy that is helping to establish the ministry of Israel. And so along comes Aaron, and Aaron grows up under Jochebed and Amram and grows up under Miriam as big sister, kind of taking care of him. Apparently, it's about a 7-year gap in time. And then comes Moses. And Moses is probably the most famous of the children just because of all that went through his life. But if you look at the life of Moses and the story of Moses, you'll see that Moses worked very closely and was very intimately involved in the relationship he had, not only with Jochebed and Amram, but he was also intimately involved with Miriam and Aaron. Big brother and big sister took care of Moses, and ultimately, as God made a major calling upon his life as a grown adult, Miriam and Aaron were there to assist Moses to do what God wanted him to do. You go back to Jochebed for a moment and recognize one of those character qualities of her. Even in captivity, even producing multiple children, even while being in an environment that was very much not favorable to having a healthy family life, Jochebed and Amram created a strong family dynamic with their children to the point that they were in harmony with one another, to the point that they were connected to one another, to the point that they supported one another in their visions and goals and calling, and to the point of all three of their children, her children, connecting to the Father, connecting to God. And when you listen to those character qualities, many of them are assumed by what was developed in her children. You can't help but admire this woman of faith, this woman of God. When you think of those qualities that she instilled in her children, moms especially, it would be an inspiration to hear that and to know that those are the kinds of activities, those are the kinds of qualities that we want to pour into our children as we develop and grow our children today, whatever their age, to influence them in the ways of God, to influence them in the ways of the Lord. You realize, as we are in this church today, you realize, moms, that as you raise your children to love the Lord and revere the Lord and follow after the leadership of the Lord, regardless of what they might do in terms of success, whether it's sports or academics or jobs or careers, regardless of what they do, to instill in them the baseline of a spiritual understanding of a spiritual relationship with God, to help them to seal up that relationship with God and to follow Him as He leads each one of your children, each one of our children, all the days of their life, gives them great advantage over the world, gives them great opportunity to grow and flourish against unspeakable odds, as Jochebed experienced way back in the day when her and Amram were raising their children. There is an amazing story of what happened with Moses that ended up being supported by Aaron and Miriam as the story goes forward. As the time of Moses came about for Moses to be delivered, the recognition by Pharaoh that Israel was being blessed in spite of their captivity in Egypt, Pharaoh began to be intimidated. He began to be threatened by the rise of population, by the rise of the Hebrew or Israelite people in the nation. Isn't that curious, by the way, that while Israel was in an untenable situation, while they were oppressed, while they were owned by another country, while they were forced to work to build Pharaoh's kingdom, they were still experiencing a tremendous outpouring of blessing. God has a way of showing up and showing off in unusual ways in order to give Himself recognition and Himself testimony through the people that He interacts with. And so that was what was happening in the time of Moses' conception and ultimate birth. And so as Moses was in the womb, Pharaoh made an order that all the boy babies of the day would be slaughtered and killed by throwing them in the Nile River, the crocodile-infested river. Throw all the boy babies in the river. Now, when you think about that for a moment, your first reaction would be, well, you know, Pharaoh is wanting to reduce the population of Israel and the future population of Israel. But when you think about it again, if you wanted to reduce the potential for population growth in the future of Israel, you would put away the girl babies. Because a girl grown into a woman could produce 3, 4, 5, you know, 6 children. A boy, you know, couldn't produce any more children. A boy could work, but a boy couldn't produce children. But he did away or attempted to do away with the boy children. And why do you think that was? I think the reason was not so much a population growth, even though there was, or the reduction, even though there was some of that. What he wanted to do was he wanted to hurt Israel. You remember how valuable boy children were in the culture? He wanted to hurt Israel. He wanted to wound them. He wanted to take away their spirit, if you will. He wanted to decimate their enthusiasm for growth and for living. And so he made that order while Jochebed was pregnant with Moses. Can you imagine mom birthing a child in that condition, knowing that when that child is born, it has a death sentence almost immediately if the child is found out? And so Jochebed, the resourceful protector mom that she was, she decided to do everything she could to preserve the life of baby Moses. And aren't you glad she did, because of what ended up happening in Moses' life? And the story is told about how she birthed the baby in secrecy and how she kept the baby in silence and in quiet. Interesting how she might have tried to keep Moses from crying, Mom. You think about that. From, you know, just everything she could to not let Moses be found out, taken from her arms and thrown into the Nile River to be eaten by crocodiles and destroyed. And so as you read the story on, you see that after about 3 months of Moses' life, she couldn't keep him quiet any longer. And the risk of him being found out, the risk of him being killed became greater and greater. And so she and Miriam, you remember we talked about Miriam, how she was an aide to Mama as the big sister. She was about 10 years old at the time. She and Miriam, as you read through the story, came up with a plan to put Moses in a little boat, to put Moses in a little basket, and put him in the Nile River. I looked online, and there are several different artistic renderings of what kind of little boat. It apparently made out of reeds and woven together and put some tar and pitch around it, put a lid on it to seal the top. But you think about it for a moment. There was no guarantee at all that that baby in a basket would survive the crocodiles in the Nile River. And you wonder, if you interviewed Jochebed today, Jochebed, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Why did you think this would somehow spare your child? We don't know, because there's not much said about Jochebed. We just know that it worked. But I think one of the things that Jochebed might say, if she were here today and were able to be interviewed, I think one of the things she might say is, well, I put him in a little boat because if he was in a little boat, he might have a chance. And God might be able to spare his life. And even if his life was not spared, at least Pharaoh wouldn't have gotten him. And he would have been given back to the Lord on the Lord's terms. And Pharaoh wouldn't have taken my boy. Now, isn't that inspiring to think of a mom being a protector of her children? Mothers are naturally that way, the protector of those that they have conceived and born and raised from the very beginning. And so she put the little boy in a basket in the reeds. We don't know how long he stayed there, but a period of time elapsed when all of a sudden the daughter of Pharaoh himself came down to the river and bathed, and Pharaoh's daughter found this baby in a basket and decided to take him home. And sure enough, he went from a death sentence to a boat trip down the Nile to in Pharaoh's house in all of its glory, in all of its wealth, in all of its opportunity in a matter of days. But when you look at the story of Moses being discovered by the daughter of Pharaoh himself, big sisters, you also notice that Miriam was there. And when Moses was taken into Pharaoh's household, Miriam, no more than about 10 years of age, Miriam was the one that brokered the deal, if you will, to find a nursing mother to be able to take care of this baby in Pharaoh's household. And so she stepped up in anonymity and with great inspiration and great discovery of and innovativeness, she stepped up and said, "I know a nursing mother that can raise this baby for you." Isn't that cool to know about Miriam? It says much about Jochebed, doesn't it? To invest in that daughter, to be able to have a daughter that would step up in unspeakable odds and conditions that were not favorable, even with great risk to her own life, as the big sister of her little brother, in order to provide for her little brother, even if it wasn't exactly as they planned. You could hear Miriam imitating her mother's resourcefulness. You could hear Miriam hearing from God. And you can see, as you read through the scripture, the story unfolds and the deal is made. And sure enough, Jochebed ends up taking care of baby Moses in the household. And so you follow the story of Moses, which becomes the major story of that whole story in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and the whole first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses, and much of the law and much of the genealogy there. I mean, he becomes the star. He's the baby, after all. And he becomes the star of all that is in the story of Israel moving into the promised land. But if you read even further in the story, you'll see that as Moses grows up and comes back to Egypt and rescues Israel, "Let my people go." You've seen it all in the movie. You'll see that Miriam and Aaron, big brother and big sister, were instrumental in assisting Moses in this calling of God upon his life to rescue Israel and bring them to the promised land. Aaron, as I said before, became the great high priest, and all of this priesthood was being developed in this transition from Egypt to the promised land. He was the key and initial spiritual leader, establishing with God's leadership the traditions of Israelite worship, if you will. Miriam continued to be Miriam. There's one interesting story about Aaron and Miriam as it relates to Moses, as they have left Egypt and they're on the way to the promised land, and Moses, who is the anointed one to speak for all of this band of people, gives a message. I won't give the detail of the message, but gives a message to the people from God. And Aaron and Miriam came and spoke against that message to Moses. And it didn't, because it didn't make sense. You ever had a word from God that didn't make sense and you argue with that? It wasn't a harsh speaking against, but they argued a bit and they spoke against. And so, because Aaron and Miriam and Moses were so special, were so called out by God to accomplish great things. Remember, their mother is Jochebed. We don't know very much about her at all. But Aaron and Miriam and Moses were so special and so called out by God, it says in the scriptures that God came and visited the three of them in a cloud of His presence. He actually brought himself to their tent and held a meeting. And it's spoken of in the scripture how God chastised Aaron, and specifically Miriam for speaking against the man of God, Moses. Now here's how special they were to God. Even though they sinned and spoke against God as they spoke against their little brother, the wrath of God was restrained from them and he punished them and specifically punished Miriam by giving her leprosy. And he gave her leprosy for 7 days. And because she had leprosy, we know that she had to leave the camp. And she had to be isolated for a week outside the camp. But after a week, she was healed. And she learned a valuable lesson, didn't she? Now, Miriam actually grew to be known as a prophetess. She began to be a spokesman for God of her own right. And in that moment, she learned, I would conjecture, she learned what true prophecy was really all about. It was about hearing from God, and thus saith the Lord, no matter if it makes sense or not. And so, if Jochebed were here today, she would begin to tell you all about her children and began to describe the qualities of her life that were so valuable to her, that became so valuable to them as they developed and grew and became all that they could be. In summary, Aaron became the first high priest of Israel. He was not the firstborn, but he was the first boy. And Aaron, in aid to Moses, was also known as a great communicator, because when Moses came back to Israel, "Let my people go," his excuse for not being able to do that is he couldn't speak too good. But he said, God said to him, "You have your brother Aaron, and you say the words, and Aaron will speak them, and Aaron will be a great communicator for you." And so Aaron was a great communicator. He was a great spiritual leader for the people, and he was devoted to God, we conjecture, from a very early age. Miriam was the oldest, and Miriam was the first daughter. And she, as we discovered through following her story a little bit today, was very resourceful, very creative, very innovative in her way of operating in the world. She found a way out. She was a problem solver, as you can tell, and that had to have been valued. She was a spiritual woman as well, but also very strong-headed. I mean, it takes great courage to speak against your little brother who's been on the mountain and speaking for God. A bit strong-headed and learned her lessons there, but the truth of it is, being strong-headed is not a bad quality, is it? It just needs to be channeled in the proper direction. And she was instrumental in continuing the plan of God by saving baby Moses, by saving baby brother, so that, and she certainly didn't know all of this at the time, but instrumental in saving baby brother so Moses could accomplish the great things that God had intended for him. And then, of course, there's Moses. Moses was the baby. Not only was he the special baby, but he also got to be raised in wealth and privilege in Pharaoh's household. He had everything that he could imagine and want because of the place that he lived and the raising or rearing that he got to experience. But the story of Moses, of course, takes a twist and a turn when he loses it and kills an Egyptian, and he spends 40 years in solitary, if you will, being prepared for the call of God upon his life as a much older man. But when he came back to Egypt, when he heard the voice of God in the bush and he came back to Egypt, he demonstrated what a great leader he had become. Can you imagine what it must be like, what it must have been like to lead a million people across a desert, across a river, across a sea, into a promised land? Can you imagine what kind of leader he must have been to accomplish all of that? Had his flaws, but also accomplished great things from God. We also see that Moses was a bit impulsive, and he overreacted from time to time. And a quality that his mama would probably say, we worked on that even when he was a little boy, and he just never could quite get a handle on that. And from time to time, he'd just kind of fly off or strike a rock, or it just never could quite get a handle on that, his mama might say. But she saw that as a quality that, if channeled, could be used for great and could be used for God. And when you look at the children of Jochebed, you see very different children. All three of them have some qualities that are similar, but all three of them are very distinctive and very different people. Mom, it says a lot about a mom. And you as a mother here today may resonate with this. It says a lot about a mom that you have to have the skills to be able to raise and counsel and encourage and help very different children to flourish so that they might be all that they can be from God as they grow up. Several years ago, when our daughters were small, and I was clueless as a father, Joe was good as a mom, and I was clueless as a dad, our daughters were about fourth grade and second grade, and I thought at the time that every child is the same, and you just raise them all the same, you know, kind of that heavy-handed dad kind of thing, and, you know, my way, and, you know, and it found out at about fourth and second grade, fifth and third grade, something along, it just wasn't working anymore. It just wasn't working anymore. And my wife and I stumbled on a book that revolutionized our ability to develop and raise children. I've quoted the author many times and recommended the book many times over. The book is by Florence Littauer. It's an old book. I printed it in your bulletin if you want to find it and read it. But basically, Florence Littauer wrote a book called Raising Christians, Not Just Children. It's an odd title for what the book is about. It doesn't fit the book. It's a Christian book. But basically what Florence Littauer did was she wrote chapter after chapter of all of the personality types of children and gave distinctive qualities for each child, boy, girl, and different types of personality types, and chapter after chapter, to where you could go and read a chapter and basically unlock or discover some of the character qualities or the tendencies of your particular child. And then you turn over a chapter or two and you see, well, this seems like my other child. And what we learned as we read through the book, that sure enough, just as Jochebed discovered, that all children are different and they relate to their world in different ways. And then the second half of the book was describing personality types and tendencies and characteristics of adults and of parents, of mom and dad. And so what we would do in the book in the second half is the parent is, Erica, I would look in there and I'd find me. I'd find myself. And it's frustrating because you look and it's like, man, that's all me. You know, I can't hide from that. And then the third section of the book was some counsel on matching me to daughter number one and matching me to daughter number two and matching my wife to daughter number one and daughter number two. And so at the end of the book, what you really needed is a chapter on daughter one and a chapter on yourself, chapter on daughter, you know, and it revolutionized the way that we related to our children. My oldest daughter is a meticulous, detailed person, and she relates to me as our detailed person in life. My younger daughter is a leader, and she relates to me as a leader, and she relates to my wife in a different way. And then came boys, and we had to get the book out again and learn it all over again. And we got to CJ and threw the book away. No, anyway, I'm sorry, bud. I'm just kidding. but nevertheless, it's good counsel. And it's important for us to understand that we have a responsibility as parents, and particularly moms, to discover and unlock all that they are to be and enhance those qualities and characteristics that are uniquely made into them by God, so that when they grow up, even in Jochebed's case with her children, and they grow up, and even if they grow up in impossible circumstances, God can use all of that to grow them into the people that God wants them to be. And the legacy of your life, Mom, is to see them take what they've learned, take the discovery of who they are, and flourish in a way that God can bless. We don't know much about Jochebed, but the truth of it is we do. Tell us about your children. And she had a whole lifetime of story unfolding.